Lloyd among those there defensively, flagged down. Deep shot. Mariota! Over the shoulder interception! Xavier Watts!
I think that was on him. I think you got to look that safety off. I don't think the shot there was the right shot, but we'll let the film breakdown analysts get into that one. This from Joey. Joey writes with the subject title, "The Regressionists Were Right." Kevin, there were numerous beat reporters and NFL insiders predicting a major regression to the mean this season, to the point like it seemed like groupthink. I refused to buy into it. I thought it was lazy, but through 4 weeks, I hate to admit it, I think they were right. This team doesn't have enough talent. Last year was a dream, but Quinn ran a soft camp, and that looks like a mistake. Adam Peters clearly missed on too many picks in his first draft. They just don't have the horses. The defense has no plan. Joe Witt Jr. isn't at risk of losing his job in season, but it's pretty clear he's dead man walking and will need to be replaced this offseason. Bobby Wagner is cooked. Luvu is slow to step or two. Lattimore, no comment. Getting Jaden Daniels back is nice, but they scored 68 points in two games without him. Scoring points is not the issue. So how much of a difference will he make? They need a Jaden Daniels on defense, and they don't have one. I'm sure I'll get over this in a day or two, but my excitement for this season is already waning. The NFC is too good, unless Jaden plays every game the rest of the season at an MVP level, I don't see the math for a playoff spot. This looks like an 8-9 team, unfortunately. The next two games are must wins. Looking forward to hearing your take. Joey in Jersey. Thank you, Joey, for that. Yeah, I mean, I would say four games is way too early when in two of them, your starting quarterback and your MVP from last year and one of the best players in the NFC last year hasn't played in those games. I get your point. They scored 41 against the Raiders. Remember, they had a big punt return, and but the Raiders weren't really that good on that day. And they scored 27 yesterday. Offense wasn't the problem. I get it. But I do think Jaden would have made a difference in yesterday's game. They kicked four field goals in the game. Some of that is because of self-infliction, and at the same time, he probably would have made and overcome some of that self-infliction. So, yeah, look, if he had played the last two games and they had won yesterday with him and they were 3-1, it would look different. There's a long way to go. I think, you know, last week on Monday, I said I have a real problem with this Atlanta game, and I think it's a dangerous game, and I think they're going to lose this game. Really thought there was a good chance that they would lose it. I actually like our team Sunday against the Chargers if Jaden's back and 100% healthy, which is the only way he should be back. I think this is one of those where the expectations are going to be a bit low, and I think they will be a hungry team to right what happened yesterday. Now, the Chargers are in the same boat after losing to New York, after losing to the Giants, but I actually like our chances to win Sunday in LA. It's not a terrific home field advantage for the Chargers. It's a more neutral environment. I like the chances of a win Sunday, and it's just too early to point to the offseason pundits and say they were right about, by the way, a regression to the mean is not really the way to describe it. But thank you for that. Let's go to the phone lines. Actually, before we do that, Max, go ahead. After your big wedding in Ocean City, New Jersey, I'm sure you were a bit groggy, but you did watch the game. What were your big takeaways?
It's hard, man. Playing defense is so hard in the NFL, but these busting coverage, like I said, top three secondary before the season, they might be bottom three. Now, whether that's either coaching and scheme or players on the field, I mean, you said it in the open, it's a little bit too early to tell, but man, it's just disappointing on that back end. Like, the Falcons are good, credit to them, but just all these busting cover. Like, I said so many times during that game, how is he so wide open? And it feels like I said that 10-plus times. It's just got to clean it up. Got to stop shooting yourself in the foot on offense and getting these pre-snap penalties and stuff like that. But, man, this secondary's got to clean it up. I'm not sure. Everyone's calling for Marshon Lattimore to be benched. It's It's tough for me to argue against that right now. So, yeah, I think we got to do some shifting around in that secondary. That's my take.
All right. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's start with our guy Jason in Laurel. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Jason.
You know, just hearing, like, from the junkies and stuff, I'm kind of blown away that people are, like, I think, blowing this loss out of proportion. I'm not happy about it. But I think of the players that were on the field, I would take Atlanta's roster over our roster. And we played well enough to win. We didn't win because of the things, the defense and stuff. But, you know, before this game or before the season, if you told me we would have as many injuries and Jaden wasn't going to play and Terry wasn't going to play, and we were only going to lose to him by 7, I probably would take that. And that's what happened. I think if Jaden played, maybe we could have won. And I do think they made a gamble and lost, because there were reports that Jaden could have played in the Raiders game if it was a playoff situation. If that was the case, obviously he could have played yesterday, but they decided to sat him and we lost. But I was telling Maxis, and I'm curious what you would think of it. I like to play the switch around to sometimes compare teams. If you just switch one position group, you give us their running backs and they take our running backs, we would have smoked them. That team is just more talented. And,
well, but the problem is, would Cliff have used our running backs?
Yeah, well, you tweeted during the game, I hate to be that guy, but I want to run more. I do think we need to run more, and I do think the mentality of the people that are on this team behooves us to run more. And I don't know why we didn't run more in a game where, you know, I do think when Jaden's in the game, I think we have probably the ability to run better. But, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world. It's a long season. The one thing that I'm 100% sure of is we need more talent on our roster, especially defensively.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate that, as always, Jason. You know, back to Joey in Jersey saying the next two are must wins. They're not must wins at this point in the season, but you certainly don't want to be 2-4 after the next two. And after the Chargers, you've got the Bears on Monday night. They've won 2 in a row. By the way, you talk about, you know, revenge mode from the Hail Mary game. They'll come in here ready on Monday night, October 13th. But you just got to play them one at a time, man. I mean, that's so cliche. It's such coach speak, but this league just completely, you know, changes on a dime every 7 days in terms of the team's performances and the way we view these teams on Mondays following a weekend of football. And a week from today, it would not surprise me that we could be talking about an impressive performance by the starting quarterback, and feel really good again about a team that's 3-2 with Chicago at home and a bad defense in Dallas the week after that. Let's go to our guy Frank in Charlotte. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, man. How you doing?
Sure, good, Frank.
Yes, I kind of agree with the guy from Jersey. I don't know about the mean thing. I don't agree with that, but I think that we have really, the origins of it start with Peter. Like I told you last week when I called last week.
You got to get to your point. Your phone's breaking up, man. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, I'm here.
Your phone isn't great. So just quickly to the point, because I know you've been on hold.
Okay. Yeah, I think the defense was, of course, was awful. I don't think that Wagner should be playing 100% of the snaps. I think he should have been put.
Yeah, let's move on from Frank. His phone's just not good enough. Let's go to our guy, Aveen. Aveen, thanks. But Frank, yeah, the defense was a problem, and I think all of us can agree that Bobby Wagner's terrific against the run, terrific as a blitzing player, as a pass rusher, but in coverage right now struggling. Aveen, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, I'm going to say a quick positive thing. I'm still somewhat encouraged by the run defense because I think they made enough splash plays, enough minimal yardage game plays.
They did. They had some of those.
To put the Falcons behind the sticks enough where if we just had more of a competent defense, we would have gotten off the field more. I think those big runs they gave up and, you know, a lot of the missed tackles, those came towards the end of drives. And, you know, when you're worn down and it's demoralizing to give up so many third downs. So that's a quick positive thing. But, you know, you're right. I'm a fan, and I don't know, you know, how much of these guys being wide open is personnel versus scheme. But I watch enough NFL football to see that, you know, the guys we allowed wide open are wide open at a much higher rate than other defenses you watch in the league. And then you see defensive coordinators
except
around
Dallas.
The league, like what Todd. Yeah, that's true. But you see other defensive coordinators around the league. You see what Todd Bowles is doing with their young secondary. There's not a lot of, you know, name brand corners in the league. You see what the Packers and the Vikings are doing with their defenses, and I couldn't name any of their secondary players, their corners going into the season. See what Indianapolis, Jacksonville, you know, the Chargers are doing with their defenses. So some of this has to fall on coaching, and it seems like some of it is schematic. So I've just been having this intrusive thought, and it's probably not realistic, but I love what Cliff Kingsbury is doing. I'm super impressed by the offense. I love how our run game looks. I think Kingsbury is elite. I think he can be the next, you know, Kyle Shanahan guy in his next spot. And I just have this intrusive thought, you know, I would rather have Jaden paired with Kingsbury for his career than, you know,
here we
sticking
go.
With
the Sean McVay thing.
I know it's a hot take. I know, but
well, I mean, the Sean McVay when Sean McVay was the tight ends coach, Cooley said he would make McVay the coach and move on from Gruden when McVay was the tight ends coach. No, I know what you're saying. And by the way, I'm impressed with Cliff too, but I think he did not feel the game yesterday. I think when you've got a defense that can't get off the field, you're doubled up in play count, time of possession in the first half, and your two running backs are averaging 7.5 yards per carry, you've got to put it in their gut more than he did.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It's just sometimes hard to be patient with run game when you're constantly in catch-up mode. That's
But it wasn't like massive catch-up mode. You know, I think, you know, you can't at the start of a half down 17-10 think you're in massive catch-up mode. And they did after a 16-yard run. They called three straight pass plays. And I know that they had to overcome a first and 30 at that point. By the way, I think your first point about the run defense, because I just looked this up, and I talked about some of the TFLs that they had yesterday. They had 7 tackles for loss in the game, and just one was a sack. So, yeah, I mean, Payne, Luvu, Armstrong, Kinlaw, Goldman, who else had one? Lattimore had one. Wagner had one. They did make some plays in the running game. There is no doubt that they did. I think early on, though, it was a gash fest until Payne knocked the ball out of Bijan's hands, which forced that first field goal. Thank you, Aveen, as always. Let's go to my guy Stan in Jersey. Stan, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
What's up, Stan?
A lot of things, nothing crazy situationally, but a couple things I think you'll like.
He shouldn't have kicked the field goal with a minute 30 left.
Obviously. I mean, that goes without saying. We know when you're in that deep, you got to keep going for it. You can't, you know, especially with the way kickers kick nowadays.
Yeah.
But I'll start with a couple things. This game felt like Green Bay all over again from an offensive standpoint. In the Green Bay game, we could not stop or we could not gain a yard on them. And in this game, we weren't going to stop them. So it felt like even though it was a one-score game, we were never going to win this game. We just could not stop them yesterday, and it was a poor defensive effort. A couple other things. Kroski, I called earlier in the summer. I wasn't sure about the backfield situation. Kroski Merritt is your better back. He's more explosive. He needs to play a lot more. Good job by you with the going down from 15 to 9. I've always said this. The intensity from the players, the game pressure, even as a fan, you know you're only down one score. Now, I get when you do get that score and you're down two and there's only 3 seconds and you don't get it, you're screwed and you're like, why didn't we do that earlier? Because you would have known that you needed the two, you know, or you needed more possessions earlier. But I do think there is something to be said for the intensity of the players, knowing that it's still a one-score game, the game pressure, all of that.
Let me just say, I'll interject right there. I always have a problem with an 8-point lead being described as a one-score game when the probability is it's still a 2-score game. Yes, what I was referring to is when they were down 15, he went for the 2 on the 4th down touchdown pass to Debo, and if he had missed it, the 9-point game puts less game pressure on Atlanta. An 8-point game puts more game pressure on Atlanta, and that's my preference, although I do understand more information is better than less information. But continue.
No.
I'm with you on Bill, too. He's got to get more carries.
I'm 100% with you. I think that's the – I mean, I understand why people don't do it, but, you know, I do like the game type pressure, and as a fan, knowing it's still a one-score game if you don't get it. The end of the half, I'm not going to talk about what the call, third and two – or third and eight, second and eight, and they ran it for 2 yards. I get he wants to try to make that the last possession. After the two-yard gain, he's just trying to make that the last possession of the half. He's no longer even trying to score a touchdown. He's just trying to kick a field goal and walk off, right?
Yeah, I think the issue with that is you start at your own 8-yard line, and in three plays, you're out to the 33, and there's still a minute 20 left. At that point, we're going to go score mode. And after an incompletion, they run the ball and let the clock roll. Now, Raheem made a mistake by not calling a timeout. That's the other thing. I mean, maybe he just knew how bad Raheem was at this and knew he wouldn't call a timeout, and he's going to get to the locker room, you know, down 7, getting the ball to start the third quarter. That's why I said it's a bit of a small nit to pick, because maybe he was playing those odds that Raheem was an idiot. But I still think out at the 33. Let's go for it.
I agree. I think as soon as that incompletion and then a run, you could tell he was just playing for a walk-off field goal, and he didn't get it, obviously. But here's the other two things about this.
He wasn't even really playing. Yes, he was playing for a walk-off field goal because they dropped Mariota back on third and eight. That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
But the clock was rolling at that point.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing about the punt at the end of the half. You're going to love this. And I know you probably scream at your TV all the time. I know I do. When the Skins punted that ball to Atlanta, that Atlanta return man has to fair catch the ball and save the time. As soon as it bounces, this is where I scream at my TV. How do these players not know to get away, you know, and let the clock roll? It's just going to roll until the official blows the whistle. It's going to be 6 seconds. Now, yesterday, it obviously hit the guy in the foot, so it was different. But how do these guys not know to just let it roll? 6 seconds will come off before the official blows the whistle. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
They must get some sort of kudo in the weekly meetings for being the guy that downed the ball, I think. I don't know why. What else you got? I want to get on to other callers.
Okay, two other things. Also, the end of the first half, there's under 10 seconds to go. We're in an all-out rush to block that punt. Why the heck do we field punts? Why do other teams field punts? I never understand.
Yeah, get the returner away. 100%. 100%.
All he can do is muff it.
There's only one thing that can happen if you've got him back there to fair catch is bad. Yes. And why
exactly
even have a returner back there?
No, just let it bounce around and end the half. He's not the only one that does it.
You're 100%. It's just like with 7 seconds to go from your own 12-yard line, why does anybody even run a play? Why do you hand the ball off to anybody? Take a knee. It's the dumbest thing. Yeah.
Last thing, and this is league-wide now. I hate the kickoff. The kickoff needs to just go away, period, and it's got to start first and 10 on the 20. You're not avoiding the huge collision. There was a collision with that guy Kehoe yesterday on a kickoff. Man, he shouldered a guy. I don't know how either of them got up.
I know.
So don't give me the concussion nonsense. It is way too easy, especially with the kickers, as we talked about. First and 10 from the 35. The Eagles' pucks had one foul at the end of the half, a 15-yarder. They got 2 yards and kicked a 65-yarder to end the half. Because you're getting the ball at the 35. You can't do it.
That's the part of it I hate. I'm with you. But I do like that the play is a play now. And by the way, it's an exciting play a lot of the times. But
I agree. It's just too much. Just eliminate it.
Did you see Aubrey last night? Did you see how good Aubrey is at having that ball hit, you know, at about the 2-yard line and go into the end zone?
It was amazing. But also, you can't even play situational football anymore with these kickers of timeouts. Because if there's 18 seconds and one timeout from your own 27, you're going for it.
It's all right, I got to run. Like, always good to catch up, Stan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, I'll make this quick. One thing I think that's evident with some players on defense, it doesn't matter what scheme we're in, because regardless, they're going to be horrible. I think Lattimore, he gets beat whether it's zone, man, or when he's pressing on the line. And one thing about him, if you're going to hold, actually commit the holding penalty so you don't give up another 40 yards to Drake London. Like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then Quan Martin, to me, Kevin, I don't know what your thoughts on him are. He's not a starting safety, in my opinion. Majority of the time, he looks lost, and he's not interested in tackling. He missed like 5 tackles yesterday.
He missed some tackles yesterday. No doubt.
And Louisville Wagner can't cover. And like I said last week, I think running backs need to get 20-plus carries. That seems like the winning recipe. If you look at the this is what goes into next week. If you want to beat the Chargers, just look what the Giants did. They ran the ball 40-plus times.
Yep, they did.
Spadaboo's a monster. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, good call, Ralphie. Appreciate that. Let's go to Rod in Landover. Rod, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, Rod.
Man, that game was extremely disappointing. Not because they lost, but you know the context of the game going into the game. That even though we knew we weren't going to have Jaden or Terry, you know, Atlanta lost 30-0 the week before that. Now I know Atlanta's a better team than that, but just knowing they lost 30-0 and then came back and put up 34 on this defense, man, it was crazy. I think they need to run Bill more. Bill seemed to be really explosive, and I can't wait to see him and Jaden Daniels side by side. So this seems like that'll be, you know, a good fit for Jaden Daniels and for Bill. But this defense, man, you know, as bad as the defense played, they still had a chance. After we scored, and I think we got the 2-point conversion, all we had to do was stop them.
One stop.
Atlanta picked up, man, they picked up 3 third downs on that drive. Three of them. You know, it was just unbelievable, man. This defense, you know, it's crazy because I thought this defense, the first 3 weeks, I thought this defense was pretty solid. Atlanta really exposed this defense. This defense, you know, styles make fights, and I think there are certain teams that we're going to play this year that's going to be a bad matchup for this defense.
I think Sunday could be one of those, but I think offensively, you got your stud back. You got your MVP back. Look, I think last week in the NFL means nothing to what this week is going to be. It just is the case every single year. That's why I picked Atlanta, and I thought Atlanta would win this game because they do have talent as well. But it's one game. Defensively, though, the results that they had that were positive were against two struggling and hurt offensive teams on those particular days. That's why there was some caution about being, you know, declaring anything about this defense. I do think the talent up front is better. I think the Kinlaw addition is already proven to be something that is a positive versus what they had last year, but there's a long way to go. Thanks for the call. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll take a few more of your calls, and then we'll get to Ben Standig at noon. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.